Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 14, Working Class Movements. And our topic is Emergence and Growth of Trade Unions. The Indian trade unions have developed in a specific context of colonialism and an underdeveloped economy. The problems of the developing economy still continue in the post-independence period, with lower levels of education, higher levels of unemployment and underemployment, and lower wages, the workers in India face many problems, which are also reflected in the union growth. In this section, we will discuss the rise and growth of Indian trade unions and various features associated with them. The first is the beginning. The trade union emerged in India after the First World War. As we have already read in the section, even before the emergence of trade unions in the post-First World War period, the workers in India were involved in the movement. This raised their consciousness. Further, the rising prices of essential commodities, decline in the real wages of workers, increase in the demand for the industrial products, resulting in the expansion of India industries. Gandhi's call for the non-cooperation movement, the Russian Revolution, etc., were the main factors which led to the emergence of trade unions in the post-war period in India. The Madras Labour Union, formed in April 1918, is generally considered to be the first trade union in India. B.P. Wadia, a nationalist leader and an associate of Annie Besant, was instrumental for its organization. It was mainly an organization based on the workers of Carnatic and Bunkingham mills in Madras, but workers from other trades such as tramways, rickshaw pullers, etc., also joined the union in the initial stage. For the first time in India, there was a regular membership, and the members were to contribute one anna as monthly subscription. Around the same time, labor agitation has started in Ahmedabad, which was to lead towards a completely different model of labor organization. The workers in Ahmedabad were agitating for a bonus to compensate for the rise in prices. Ashuben Sarabhai, who was involved with the agitation, got in touch with Gandhi and requested him to come to Ahmedabad. Gandhi stood by the workers' side and demanded that the workers should be given 35% bonus. On the refusal of mill owners, he called upon for a strike and insisted that the principle of arbitration should be accepted. He also went on a fast to persuade the mill owners. Finally, the mill owners accepted arbitration, and as a compromise, the arbitrator recommended 27.5% increase in wages. On the basis of this struggle and on the principle of arbitration, the Textile Labor Association, also known as Mazoor Mahajan, was established in Ahmedabad in 1920. This union worked along Gandhian lines and became very strong over the years. The trade union movement now picked up momentum, and many more unions were formed in many centers. By 1920s, according to an estimate, there were 125 unions consisting of 2,50,000 members. This was a fairly impressive growth by any standard. But if we consider the durability and consistency of these unions, we find that most of them were very temporary in nature and were little more than strike committees. They were formed basically to conduct strikes and dissolved soon after the strike ended. There was no regular membership, nor were there regular payments from the members. However, the impetus provided by the trade union growth was such that soon a national organization of the working class was established. Next point is formation of the AITUC and subsequent developments. The All India Trade Union Congress, AITUC, was formed in 1920 as a development of these trends towards union formation all over the India. Many people connected with labor realized that there was a need for a central organization of labor to coordinate the workers of the trade unions all over the India. Bal Gangadhar Tilak, N.M. Joshi, B.P. Wadia, Diwan Chaman Lal, Lala Lajpat Rai, Joseph Baptista, and many others were trying to achieve this goal. The formation of the International Labour Organization, ILO, in 1919 acted as a catalyst for it. It was felt that there should be a national organization of the trade unions whose nominee could be chosen to represent the Indian labor in the ILO. Lala Lajpat Rai became the first president of the AITUC and Joseph Baptista its vice president. Motilal Nehru and Vallabhbhai Patel were also present. The AITUC received a lot of support from the Indian National Congress. There was about 107 unions which were affiliated or sympathetic to the AITUC. Out of these, 64 unions had 1,40,854 members. One notable absence was the Gandhian Trade Union of Ahmedabad, the textile labor union. It was a promising beginning, and the AITUC continued to grow until it split in 1929. In the aftermath of the First World War, there were numerous strikes by the workers all over the India. As expected, most of these unions were present in the advanced industrial centers like Bombay, Calcutta, Kanpur, Ahmedabad, and Madras. The main industries where these unions were formed were cotton and jute textiles, railways, shipping, iron and steel, and post and telegraphs. In political terms, the most important phenomena in the field of labor movement in India was the emergence of the communist. The communist ideology, deriving from the theories of Marx and Lenin, assigns the working class the center place. It was therefore natural that the communist would be closely involved with the labor movement in India. The Communist Party of India, CPI, was formed abroad in Soviet Union in October 1920. Amon Roy was the moving force behind this. Soon after the formation of CPI, the communists became active in the labor movements. Bombay and Calcutta invited their particular attention due to the labor concentration and earlier labor struggles in these cities. The communists organized the workers in cotton mills of Bombay and jute mill of Calcutta, besides many other industries, and led militant struggles. Due to their commitment to the cause of labor and their devotion to the organizational work, they were soon able to organize many new unions and gain ascendancy in the old ones. By 1928-29, they were able to gain a marginal majority in the AITUC. In the 10th session of the AITUC held in Nagpur and presided over by Jawaharlal Nehru, the communists were able to pass resolutions calling for the boycott of Royal Commission on Labour, demanding disassociation from the ILO and association with the League Against Imperialism. The moderate and reformist group led by M.N. Joshi, Diwan Chaman Lal, V.V. Giri and B. Shiva Rao was unable to digest these moves and left the AITUC along with 30 unions and a membership of 95,639 and formed the Indian Federation of Trade Union, IFTU. While the AITUC was left with only 21 unions and 92,797 members, this was almost a vertical split in this All India Organization of Workers. Another split occurred in 1931 due to divergence between the nationalist and communist opinions. The communists severely criticized Gandhi and condemned the Round Table Conference in which the Congress was participating. They wanted to pass a resolution to this effect. Unable to secure a majority for this, they walked out and formed another federation of trade unions called the Red Trade Union Congress, RTUC. Thus, by 1931, there were three national federation of trade unions, the AITUC, the IFTU, and RTUC. It was felt by many trade union leaders that division in their ranks was creating problems for their political and economic struggles. Therefore, there were attempts by unity immediately after the split. As a beginning, the railway unions and some unaffiliated unions united with the IFTU to form the National Federation of Trade Unions, NFTU, in 1933. It had 47 unions and 135,000 members. At another level also, there was a move towards unity. The Red Trade Union Congress led by the communist and the AITUC led by the radical nationalist were coming closer. They united in 1935 and the name AITUC was retained for the unified organization. This was a strong desire for unity among the ranks of the trade unions. It was due to the intensified nationalist and anti-imperialist consciousness. To achieve unity among The anti-imperialist firm, both the AITUC and NFTU, were making intense efforts. The unity was achieved in 1940 when the NFTU merged with the AITUC, and M.N. Joshi of the NFTU became its general secretary. Next point is division and political affiliation. As soon as the unity was achieved, the division resurfaced in the organization owing to the varying politics of the trade union leaders. The Second World War created this rift. Some of the trade unions leaders led by M.N. Roy believed that the fascist countries were the main enemies and the democratic countries should be supported against them. But the majority of the trade union leaders comprising the nationalist and communist in the initial stages, while agreeing with this opinion in principle, decided to remain neutral because Britain, which was in control of India, was not willing to promise independence to this country. The Roy Group broke from the AITUC in July 1941 and decided to support the British Indian government in its war efforts by not sponsoring strikes and by trying to convince the workers to raise productivity. The group set up the Indian Federation of Labour, IFL, and claimed the affiliation of 182 unions with a membership of over 2 lakh workers. It continued its active support to government's war efforts, while the AITUC maintained the stance of neutrality. In the post-war period, when the contours of a national government was becoming apparent, the political rivalry within the trade unions became even more acute. The Congress tried to influence the AITUC and its unions to work along Gandhian lines and in support of the Congress. But by then, the communist influence had grown very strong. The Congress therefore decided to form its own trade union organization. The foundation of the in May 1947 Indian National Trade Union Congress, INTUC, was the result of this effort. In 1948, the unions under the influence of Congress Socialist came out of the AITUC and formed the Hind Mazdoor Panchayat, HMP. In 1949, another organization called the United Trade Union Congress was formed under the famous trade union leader Mrinal Kanti Bose. In 1949, the HMP and the IFL united to found the Hind Mazdoor Sabha, HMS. Thus, in 1949, there were 4 Central Trade Union Federation, AITUC, the INTUC, the HMS, and the UTUC. Now we want to wind up this lecture. Thank you so much for your attention.